This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. You're with Dan Roebuck alongside me, freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella. Now, Danny, usually when we start these previews for the 22-23 campaign, one of the first questions I ask is, how is the league that we're talking about going to be affected by the World Cup? But of course, Italy haven't qualified for the World Cup final, so sorry to throw that one on you.
Well, yeah.
There's still going to be lots of players heading to Qatar from Syria.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be loads, you know, especially there is a heavy Argentine contingent in Serie A, Lautaro, Di Maria, Correa. Then, of course, Lukaku, Pogba, who currently is injured. Will he go to the World Cup or not? Depending, yes. But the bulk of Mancini squad, I'm afraid I'll have to watch it at home. But, you know, it might be a blessing in disguise for some clubs.
It could be. Look, we're going to tackle the outrights first and foremost. Who will win the Scudetto? We go plus 150 Juve and Inter, plus 400 Milan, Roma plus 900, Napoli plus 1700. Juve with that slow start, of course, last season. They're vying for favouritism with Inter. What is the feeling in Italy at the moment when it comes to the title race? Because it was brilliant last season. Is it going to be another close title race, do you think?
Yeah, mainly two feelings. That it's going to be very close this season. There isn't a dominant team again this season because all the teams have strengthened, but still all the teams, perhaps they miss a couple of pieces. And as far as preseason goes, there is no clear favorites because Inter and Juventus have had a very bad preseason with heavy defeats. Milan perhaps didn't have a bad preseason, but they didn't play very strong oppositions. Roma had a good preseason, but again, maybe the tests were not as probing. Yes, the feeling is and the hope is that it's going to go down to the wire again.
Well, it was a fantastic title race last year. It was won by Milan. We'll get to the defending champion shortly. Just want to get your thoughts on the contenders here. Juve plus 150 for the title, minus 715 for top four. Fourth last year, they got off to that awful start, didn't they? Why are they joint favourites this time around?
They are joint favorites because it feels that finally Allegri's got his team. He did the signing that he wanted, and he wants a very physical and experienced team. So in comes Pogba with the caveat of his injury. Here comes Di Maria, Bremer from Torino. They will sign soon Kostic. So he got a more experience in the team. He wants the players that have done that, have won, and so they can relish the challenge. But when it comes to Juventus, there is also a big doubt as well, because I don't think they are yet complete in the transfer market. Let's not forget they've let go two important players in Chiellini and De Ligt. They still miss the playmaker, the player that can really set the tempo and can manage the games. Remember last season, many times, especially in the Champions League, they were not able to control the tempo of the game. That's why they're looking for Paredes, and they need another striker because Allegri doesn't trust Moise Kean. He's probably out of the team. They are chasing Morata, who scored three against them yesterday in a friendly. Well, they land him, we don't know. So they really need a replacement for Vlahovic, because otherwise it's unthinkable for the Serbian to play them all. They'll have a big boost with Federico Chiesa coming back from his injury. So potentially a very exciting front three with Di Maria, Chiesa and Vlahovic and Kostic as a replacement. But they need to tactically be more astute. They need to be more proactive. They need to score more goals. Last year, 11th attack of Serie A, Juventus. And this with having signed Vlahovic in January.
of course, we've got a special bet involving Chiesa. We'll leave that right to the end. It's a good one as well. What about Inter second last year? People forget that they finished so strongly. They won 10 of their last 11. That loss at Bologna really scuppered their chances. Only 2 points behind Milan, of course. Lukaku is back. A lot looking at Inter, thinking that they should win the title again. Your thoughts?
For many, Inter last year were the de facto champion because they played the better football, they scored the most goals. And yes, of course, if it wasn't for the Radu mistake at Bologna, they had the title in the hands for as good as Milan was. I think Inter this season are more complete because they've strengthened, of course, with Lukaku, 47 goals in Serie A. So he returns to Inter and returns to form the best partnership of Serie A with Lautaro. And also they are younger Inter. They've added Aslani midfield, Bellanova, Onana as another keeper that's going to take the place of Handanovic. I think Handanovic is going to be a challenge this season. Now, what happens to Inter is that there is a big question mark. We don't know whether they're going to sell one of their star players by the end of the transfer market because they are in financial turmoil. And that star player could be Milan Skriniar to PSG. Now, the Inter defense looked a bit shaky in preseason. 10 goals conceded in 5. But okay, maybe we shouldn't read too much into this. But if they lose a big piece like Skriniar and they've lost Bremer to Juventus in the transfer market, I think obviously they're going to run out of option. I think what Inzaghi needs is a plan B. Now that he's got Lukaku, he can use him sitting a little bit deep and playing on the counter-attack. He can obviously have the option to put in more crosses into the box because there is a physical presence, but as well they don't have to forget the way they change from Conte to Inzaghi, so a very elaborate and also good to watch way of playing football. But you know, it all depends on Lukaku, in Lukaku's form. If Lukaku hits the ground running as they did 2 years ago, they are in with a good chance, provided they don't sell any more star players.
Be interesting to see what happens between now and the end of the transfer window when it comes to Inter. As for Milan, let's not forget last year, plus 2,000s, they were shock champions, 20-1 shots to win. It's their first Scudetto for over a decade. They haven't gone back-to-back since the early 90s under Fabio Capello. Ibrahimovic stays, Giroud stays. It always seems to be a bit of an aging squad. What can we expect from Milan this year? Because they are plus 400 for the title this time around, minus 400 for a top four.
Let's not underestimate them, because in terms of team spirit and identity, they are second to none. Milan know what they are. Pioli knows the team inside out. He has improved them a lot, and they have shown real team spirit last season. You know, many times they were with the backs against the wall, and they managed to get wins, especially in the difficult time of the season, especially a lot of away wins. They are one of the youngest teams to win Serie A, and they've added another young talent in the Cattelair. That's what they wanted. He adds a lot of quality in the left-hand side of the attack. They also got Origi up front, so another option. I think Giroud is going to start most of the games. They've locked Leao into a contract extension, so obviously he's going to be there as well. The question mark with Milan is how much they can improve, because I think last season some of the players, they pushed above the weight. I think they've done better than what many people expected, and I'm talking, for example, of the likes of Tonali, who had a great season, Bennacer, the fullbacks as well, Kalulu, and Tomori at the centre back. And also there is another question mark that I think this time in the Champions League they're going to be seeded, they're going to be in pot one, so they're going to be a little bit of expectations for the champions of Italy to progress from the group stage in the Champions League. So they need to do well. Last year, they finished fourth, and there is no coincidence that the last two Scudetto winners, they both got knocked out in the early stages of the Champions League, both Inter and Milan, so they could concentrate only in one competition. But, you know, the odds for them, plus 400 to win the title, they are interesting. But I found something that a little bit better, I think. If you think you believe Milan are in with a chance to fight until the end and do better perhaps than the other contenders, but less well the one between Juventus and Inter, why not going for a Milan winner without Juve and Inter? So if Milan finishes third, Juve and Inter, either Juve and Inter first or second, then you win plus 200. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Milan, for example, finishes above one of those two teams.
Of course, but if you back them without and they finish second to Inter or indeed Juve, you still win that bet. So it's a nice way to get involved. Plus 200, that's Milan winner without Juve and Inter. And I think we've got the same sort of thinking when it comes to Roma as well here, Daniele. They were six last year. They were 23 points behind Milan, but they did win that Europa Conference League, as we know. And Jose Mourinho, we know he can work the magic. We're expecting a better season from Roma domestically, aren't we?
We should, because they come from a sixth and a seventh place in Serie A. And this season, they are the transfer market kings because they've landed two big coups in Paulo Dybala, Jorginho Wijnaldum. Probably they're not done yet. They're going to sign another striker, Belotti, another center defender in Zagadou. But it's the enthusiasm around Roma. It was a really changed the mood this summer. After that Europa League win, Roma have done the business early and they've done really well. Of course, Mourinho is the catalyst of it. Now, if you look at the front four of Roma, Pellegrini, Zaniolo, Abraham, Dybala, you know, we're looking at a really, really lot of potential. Should they lose Zaniolo to Spurs, I think they will still be very competitive because they could reinvest those money to get another quality midfielders there. So it is a complete squad. It feels like Mourinho's squad again. Experience with Matic, for example, it's got two players for every position. The return of Leonardo Spinazzola, really important. He was the best left back at the Euros. Let's not forget, they didn't have him last season and they did really well with Zaleski in that position. I don't think they're going to win it because they got a lot of grounds to make and also the other teams have strengthened. It all depends how well they're going to do in the against the big teams. Last season, they lost all six games against Milan, Inter and Juventus. But I think they're going to be competitive until April, March, they're going to be really in close touch with the top, so 75% of the season. And maybe the realistic objective is finishing the top four, which they haven't done in the last 4 years, and winning the Europa League. A cup win in Rome, it's absolutely massive. But again, if you think Rome has a chance to finish in the top four and do better than Napoli, for example, Roma winner without Juve and Inter, that plays plus 400. If you want to be a little bit conservative, bet half a unit on it. So, you know, then you get the same return as with the Milan bet that we said before.
Could be a good way to go when it comes to Roma. They're minus 106 for top four. Incidentally, you mentioned Napoli briefly. They started so well last season. It looked like that potentially they were going to lift the title for the first time in a generation. They won the first eight games, but then they just dropped away. They've lost key players. Can we see a surprise with Napoli again? What are your thoughts?
It's life without Insigne, Mertens, Koulibaly, Ospina. There are doubts about Fabian Ruiz, whether they're going to stay. How competitive are they going to be with the new signing? I know they're looking to sign Raspadori from Sassuolo. They got a good winger in Kvaratskhelia from Dynamo Kiev, the Georgian, and new defenders in Kim, maybe Kepa Arrizabalaga from Chelsea. So there's a lot of new faces. For last year, they were built on defensive solidity. They were the best defense for a very long time, a very good drilled team by Spalletti. I think so far, they still have a very strong 11. If you look at the starting 11, I'm not sure about the depth of the team they're going to play, of course, in the Champions League as well. Osimhen, 14 goals last season, one to watch. He basically played half of the season because of injury in Africa Cup of Nation. They're going to be challenging. I don't think Scudetto they can reach it, but let's not underestimate them just yet.
Okay, so when it comes to Scudetto, when it comes to the outrights, we're basically saying Milan winner without Juve and Inter plus 200, and we like Roma half stakes here plus 400 in the same market. Those are the two that we're going to war with when it comes to the title. Top four here, we've got Atalanta. No European football for Atalanta. Real shame. Love to see them play in European football. Plus 175. Lazio plus 450. Fiorentina plus 900. I mean, we've talked about five teams already. So when we drop down a level here, can we see any of these three teams maybe grabbing top four? Is there any value in this market?
Atalanta is interesting because this could be an opportunity for Gasperini to develop his ideas. You know, Gasperini is a very progressive manager, one of the most European managers in Serie A. I'm sure the extra time that he's having without playing in Europe will be put to a good use. Last year, they didn't have a deep enough squad. They haven't strengthened a lot, but there is a good core of players. So Atalanta could be one to go pushing for the top four. The potential surprise for me and the one to go, it's Lazio plus 450. Why? Because normally, the second year, Sarri's team improve. And they had a good season towards the end of last season. You know, they were in top five and never in doubt the qualifications for Europe. I am interested to see, obviously, Immobile once again. He won't play for the national team, so perhaps he's going to be more rested when it comes, you know, to the crazy month for the World Cup. And they all the other players, they don't play for the national teams as well. Up front, they got Zaccagni, they got Anderson, they added a new playmaker in Marcos Antonio. I believe in the Sarri team could improve, and of course it will be a surprise if they manage to finish in the top four. But that's where my money would go. And you can also look at Fiorentina as a potential surprise. I know it pays a lot for them to finish in the Champions League spot, but last season they were the second best team at home. They've added quality with Luka Jovic, and again the summer signing of Cabral and Icone had more time to settle in. If you're looking for an entertaining team to watch, that's Fiorentina with Vincenzo Italiano for sure.
Yeah, watch out for the top six and top 10 betting as well on the Bet Rivers website, incidentally, if you're looking for something. Shorter odds, obviously, but gives you just that little more wriggle room. Let's talk about those teams that could end up being relegated. Lecce, Cremonese both came up. Monza via the playoffs,
yeah.
But we look at Cremonese minus 286, Lecce minus 155, Monza plus 300 here. Is this the Berlusconi effect? Just tell those who don't know what's happened at Monza, what has happened, and I guess why they're not one of the very short price favourites to go straight back down.
Monza are owned by former Prime Minister, former Milan President Silvio Berlusconi, with the help of his aide of many years, Adriano Galliani. And in a couple of years, they built it a very competitive team, taking it from the third division to Serie A. This summer, they have added a lot of Serie A experience in the likes of the keeper Kranjec to play for Cagliari, Ranocchia, Sensi, Pessina, Caprari up front used to play for Verona last season. These are all very good players that played for Italy, for the national team, and now they're going to play for the newly promoted Monza. Look, they're not going to want to be the punching bag of Serie A. It will be a reputational damage as well for the owners. And if you look at the team, yes, of course, they finished third in Serie B, but, you know, Serie B is a strange league as well. They look competitive. I think they've strengthened a lot. And also, they got a good manager in Stroppa. It's the second time he got promoted Serie A. He has experience. Things that Cremonese and Lecce don't have. That's why the price for them to go down, it's so low. Cremonese and Lecce, at the moment, will have around 8 debutants in their starting 11. By the way, the fact that the league starts so early, it penalizes these small teams. Why? Because normally they do the business towards the ends of the transfer market. The transfer market finishes on the 1st of September. By then, we would have played already 4 games. And normally, you know, there isn't a lot of money in Italian football anyway. These teams, they will be incomplete at the beginning. So it could be a difficult start for them. They got two debutants manager as well in Alvini and Baroni, who are new to Serie A. So they are obviously, for me, the most likely to be relegated. And then I think it could be between Salernitana last season, that pays minus 155, had a late escape, although they did make a miracle because they make so much ground in the second part of the season. But the last game of the season, they lost 4 Nila home to Udinese, and had Cagliari won at Venezia, they would have gone down. But I think one between Spezia and Empoli could get sucked into this relegation battle and could end up in Serie B. Is a good price here. Plus 175 for Spezia and Empoli. Empoli were nearly promoted last season, but they had an awful end of the season. They lost, I think, 13 of the last 17 in Serie A, but still they managed to get saved, and they've lost a lot of players, a lot of young players, but good players like Aslani, Viti, Pinamonti, Cutrone. They were all in on loan. And Spezia, the same, you know, a team that hasn't done a lot in the transfer market. They got a new manager in Gotti as well. They've always, you know, played with relegation the last few years. So it could be between one of them.
Okay, you've got a couple of sort of special bets that tie into teams doing badly as well. You've got Cremonese to finish bottom and Empoli to concede the most goals. Just talk us through the thought process here, Danny.
Cremonese to finish bottom because it's the weakest defense in Serie A, I think, and they will struggle with this unless they complete a few signings. This is a team that looks very different from the one that came up last season. They had a lot of loans, for example. They had a great player in Fagioli, who belongs to Juventus, come back to the motherland. And then I got Empoli, the team to concede the most goals. Last year, they conceded 71, third worst defense. They still managed to stay up. And as I said, they are missing a couple of players. They're actually, there are a few like Bairami that might leave as well. They don't seem very strong. The new manager is Paolo Zanetti. Last season, he went down with Venezia. They played the good stuff, but again, they were leaking a lot of goals. It was a team that was spending a lot of time in their own half. So that's my bet of the league. There is a conservative one, Cremonese to finish bottom, plus 200. Empoli to be the worst defense of Serie A, plus 700.
Really good insight into the bottom of the table. Terrific stuff, Daniele. Now, top goal scorer. We're looking for players to do well, obviously, here. An awful lot of punters, an awful lot of bettors are going to look at Romelu Lukaku here and think, well, he's back in Serie A. We know what he did last time around, although he didn't win the Capocannonieri the last two occasions that he was in Italian football. He is the favourite, plus 400. Then we've got Dusan Vlahovic. Took a little bit of time to get going, of course, at Juve, plus 400. Immobile, plus 500. Lautaro Martinez, plus 700. Zapata, 1100. Tammy Abraham, plus 1500. A fully fit Osimhen could be some value at 1500. Talk us through what you like when it comes to the top goal scorer.
We need to look at numbers. So to win the top scorer in Italy, you need around 28 goals. In the last 11 seasons, only twice top goal scorer has scored more than 30 goals. Ciro Immobile has won two of the last three trophies for the top goal scorer, and he scored 36 goals 2 years ago, 27 last season. So if you look at the numbers, only Mobile is the one that has got the numbers, and he's got a team that will play entirely for him. He's the only central striker, the lone striker in Sarri 43. Everything is going to go through him. Of course, he's on penalties as well. As I said before, Sarri's teams almost certainly improve in the second half. They probably will concede a lot, but they score a lot. Lazio were the second best attack last season in Serie A. So everything, let me think, unless they sell Milinkovic-Savic, the thing's going to be pretty much the same for them. Plus 500 is Immobile to be a capocannoniere, top goal scorer. And that's my preferred picks. Then let's go through Lukaku. Lukaku scored 23 and 24 in the two seasons in Italy, and he's going to form a great partnership with Lautaro. There is the question mark. He's going to go to the World Cup. And I think the same for Lautaro. We can't really know now what kind of form they're going to be before and after. What's going to go through the mind, depending how long the competition is going to be with them. And I think Inter are going to score a lot of goals, but the lion's share of goals is going to be shared between Lautaro and Lukaku. You might ask him, why not you go for Lautaro? Last season, he scored 21 goals. It was his best scoring season. Well, he won't be on penalties anymore because Romelu is back. But then when Romelu doesn't play, then Lautaro will take them. So I think they're going to share the goals equally, but I don't think they might hit the height of Immobile. Other interesting for me ones are Vlahovic, 24 goals last season, but only 7 with Juventus. So the question mark is, are Juventus tactically and technically be able to provide Vlahovic with more scoring opportunities? Last season, they didn't. Hopefully now they will rely on the crosses of Kostic, on the crosses of Chiesa, on the assist of Di Maria. You mentioned Osimhen. Yes, great prospect. He scored 14 last season. He didn't play a lot. But who's going to pass the ball to him? There is no Insigne. There is no Martens. So relies on the new guys, Raspadori, Kvaratskhelia, Zapata. 23 goals in three seasons ago, won't play in Europe, will not play on the World Cup. So that could be the wild card, if you like. But again, last season, Atalanta lacked a bit of cutting edge, a little bit of creativity. I feel, for example, Malinowski, the most creative player, had a great season. Top goal scorer in the league for Atalanta, in the end, was Pasalic. So again, take it with a little bit of, with a pinch of salt. And then there is the fascination. There is, of course, Tammy Abraham, who could improve much more. Now he plays alongside Dybala. Last season he scored 13. But here we're going very high odds. So these are very speculative. You might want to place half a unit, a third of a unit on Zapata, on Abraham. But I got an interesting one. I got actually two interesting ones. If you look at Fiorentina, they have strengthened. They got one of the strikers that a few seasons ago was thought as one of the best young players, which is Luka Jovic, when he used to play for Eintracht Frankfurt. The odds for him to score over 11.5 goals, so at least 12 goals, as minus 118. Why? Because he only did it once in the last 5 years, and then he had bad spells at Real Madrid and also when he got back to Frankfurt. But Fiorentina is a high scoring team. They do create a lot of chances. Look what they did with Vlahovic, for example. You know, he was on course to become a top goal scorer. So it could happen with Jovic again if he's in form. And then another one that I like is if you look at the Milan's market, Rafael Leao to be Milan top scorer. Last season he was joint top scorer with Giroud, playing score 11. So not very high tally, to be fair, but enough to help Milan to win the Scudetto. Can he do it again this season? Well, I think it's probably the first name on the team sheet behind Maignan. So he will play a lot of games, whereas Giroud probably was going to share some of the games with Origi. So yeah, Leao on the left-hand side and the partnership with Theo Hernandez could be devastating. So Leao to be Milan top goal scorer, you don't need many, as he was proven last season, plus 125.
Some interesting bets there. Immobile plus 500 to win the Golden Boot. Jovic to score more than 11.5, and Rafael Leao to be Milan's top goal scorer. Any other specialty markets that you've discovered on the Bet Rivers website? There's an awful lot of markets to go at here, but you've picked out a couple of players that you think could be worth following, Daniele.
I think if it's always interesting to look at the assists, you know, the creative players that might not go on the score sheet much, but they help the team a lot. Last season, the king of assists was Domenico Berardi at Sassuolo, 14 assists, because we know Sassuolo plays on the front foot. They do concede a lot, but they create a lot of goals. So most of Scamacca goals were Berardi assists. Then second, Çalhanoğlu and Barella with 12 for Inter. So you need around 15 assists to win it. I'm going to go for two very left-field bets here. By the way, the favorite is Berardi, again, plus 500, I think. I'm going to go for Federico Chiesa, coming back from his injuries. He's been out for a year, and he's going to be Juventus' main weapon going forward. 4-3-3. He has a target man in Vlahovic to aim to. And, you know, we saw it, how dangerous he is when he's in form. So I think Chiesa plus 900 could be a good bet. But also got another one that I fancy a lot. And again, this is the speculative one. Leonardo Spinazzola of Roma, the left wing back, plus 1,300. Remember Euro 2021, how good he was, how forward he played, how participative he was in Mancini's tactics and going forward. It could be the same for Mourinho. Again, with Tammy Abraham in the middle, with potentially Belotti in the middle, chances to put cross there or to cut back for Dybala could be... you know, it could be the star of the season. He somehow feels almost like the forgotten man because we haven't seen him, but he's a quality player. Plus 1,300. You know, if you got a spare unit, why not?
Load up with those specials along with all of the others for the outright markets when it comes to the Serie A season that kicks off, of course, this weekend. Thanks for your company as always. Just to remind everyone, because the audience is growing, we need to get those numbers up. Your social media details are?
On Twitter, I am at Difisi.
Simple as that. That wraps up the BetRivers Serie A Futures podcast. Myself and Daniele will be back later this week with a rundown of all of the best bets from week 1 in the new season. And make sure you cross all of the BetRivers podcasts at Because We Win.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the BetRivers Network.